Hi, welcome everybody to our Planning You Can Trust podcast. I'm your host, Eric O. And I'm here today with Mr. Cameron Jalbert. And Cameron is a financial planner. He's also a chartered financial consultant. He is going to talk to us today about market volatility, right? So Cameron, it's midway through the year and we've seen quite a bit of market volatility in the month of May. The first half of the year has been wrapped up now. Can you share some of your thoughts regarding the causes of this volatility and what might be to come in the next few months?
Sure. So volatility has been a hot topic, really going back to 2018. As most of us know, the last quarter of 2018 was a bit of a jar, one of the first negative actual stock market years we've had in a very long time. So in the last quarter of 2018, the market was down some 14%. So that was the most we had been down in a short period like that. And really to cut through all the smoke and mirrors, two major economic factors, in our opinion, were the reasons that we saw that negative volatility at the end of 2018. Those were the China trade tariff situation,
right,
and interest rates. So if we reverse back, we know what's become of those situations this year, but at the end of 2018, we had three interest rate increases. So just to remind listeners, raising interest rates does put a bit of a squeeze on the growth of our economy. So three interest rate increases going into the fourth quarter, President Trump didn't want another one, but our Federal Reserve kind of stuck to their guns and we had a fourth interest rate increase in December.
Sure.
This was happening at the same time where the trade tensions with tariffs were heating up with China. So at that point, we thought that as of January 1st, we were going to impose this massive amount of tariffs. Now we know that didn't happen on that time frame.
Right.
But those were really the two big factors that were causing a lot of people to believe that, global economic growth was maybe going to start slowing down. Then throw in a 36-day government shutdown, worries of inflation not being where it should be. And there were a lot of spinning plates on the table at that time, causing concern to investors, which led to quite a bit of volatility.
Right, it's great that you mentioned the government shutdown because it's almost like we've totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
And, it was a big deal at the time and, we totally moved past it now. And, today the Fed is widely expected to lower interest rates.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly how much they're going to be lowering interest rates. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, and that's where I try to parlay the explanation of the end of 2018 into 2019, because the same factors that drove the market negatively in 2018 are the same things that have driven it up in 2019.
Right.
So right into January, we have this basically flip of a switch back to this crazy positive market again. And the reason for that was the delay of the tariffs on China, and then the expectation to either maintain interest rates the same. We went into 2019 initially thinking that there was going to be two rate increases.
Sure.
Then they changed the outlook saying that they're probably going to keep them the same. Then rumors started brewing of a potential rate cut. So a rate cut, obviously, if a rate increase puts pressure on the economy, a rate cut is what gives, more smoke to the economy. It's kind of how I explain it. So trade tariffs being delayed and a potential rate cut were two big factors that led to the market continuing to run. You mentioned a little bit of volatility in May. May was a rough month because that's when we imposed the tariffs on China. They imposed the tariffs back on us. That led to some volatility. The world didn't end and investors got their confidence back.
We're still here.
Yeah. Investors got their confidence back and then they got some expectation from the Federal Reserve to potentially lower interest rates.
I mean,
the thought that we're lowering interest rates now for the first time since 2008 is quite unique. Is it going to happen? How much? Those are the questions that we don't have answers to just yet. But undeniably, the stock market's going to like an interest rate
cut. Stock markets usually move in advance, right?
Correct.
So That being said, you know, we didn't really talk about the inverted yield curve too much, but that's something that's been getting a lot of attention over the last year or so. Yep. Do you have any comments on
that? Yeah, so something kind of out of the main public eye, out of the main public headlines, I would say. Some people have read about it, some people haven't. I would say maybe 25% of my clientele has brought it up to me. Mm-hmm. The inverted yield curve is somewhat of a doomsday phenomenon when it comes to predicting the stock market.
Sure.
So just to really take a step back and try to explain it from a very high level, if you have a 3-month CD that you go buy and you have a 10-year CD that you go buy, you know, which one of those should pay you higher interest?
Normally the 10-year,
right? Yeah, because you're locking your money up for the 10 years versus the 3-month.
Sure.
Well, right now, the way that the interest rate environment is, and it has been on and off, is that short-term interest rates are actually paying higher interest than the long-term. So this is what is called the inverted yield curve. And historically speaking, it has been one of the most foolproof predictors of a recession. Okay. So there's not an exact formula to, you know, the time frame, but more often than not, when the inversion of the yield curve between the 3-month and the 10-year treasury yields has happened and has stayed for, I think it's at least a quarter, there has been a recession that's followed within 24 months. So it's not to say that it's guaranteed, and it's not to say that that's the situation we're
in
right now.
Nobody has a crystal ball.
Everyone would argue that, you know, economically speaking, we are still fundamentally very, very strong, mm-hmm. and that the inversion of this yield curve is unique for a few different reasons.
Sure.
The primary reason of this inversion not being a doomsday outlook is where inflation is.
Right.
So inflation is still under where the target 2% is.
Sure.
Whereas if you look at the last two times the yield curve inverted, around our financial crisis, we had much more pressure on inflation. Mm-hmm. So I also think that's something that some people aren't talking about as much as they could be, the relationship between inflation and interest rates.
Right.
Because inflation is so low right now, that's why the Federal Reserve is able to cut rates. If inflation starts to creep up and puts pressure on interest rates to rise, then we could absolutely see a bit of a slowdown.
Sure.
Because the Federal Reserve is not going to have an option. They're gonna have to raise rates.
Right.
And if they're forced to raise rates in a short period because of pressure from inflation, the stock market will react negatively, most likely.
And I think it's important to say that an inversion may preempt a recession, but we don't necessarily know exactly how severe the recession can be.
Absolutely.
It could be mild, moderate,
absolutely.
Or severe, right? So.
Yep.
It all depends on the circumstances.
That's the other thing too. The recession is such a naughty word, you know, in economic forecasting.
Taboo,
yeah, exactly.
Sure.
And you know, by definition, a recession is just two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean a global economic meltdown. It doesn't mean another tech bubble burst like 2000. It doesn't mean another subprime mortgage mess.
Right.
So, I mean, you look at all the positive things that our economy has right now, like low inflation, like low unemployment, and it's really tough to make that argument to say that, you know, the party's over immediately. You know, something can come out of left field tomorrow, you know, a black swan event, but on the books right now, it's tough to make that argument, in our opinion.
Right. I think that most would argue that, you know, actual crises develop because of a banking crisis.
Sure.
And it seems unlikely that there would be a banking crisis at this point because of all the new regulations, the capital requirements that banks are required to have now after the financial crisis. So I think we've somewhat kind of moved past that now, and so more than likely we're thinking that the next downturn may not be as severe as the last one that we went through.
Sure. Right? And that's what I try to talk to most of our clients about on a consistent basis, is that's why we need to be prepared with our portfolios today.
Sure.
You know, we are comprehensive financial planners. We're not stockbrokers. We're not trying to get double the rate of return of the stock market.
Right.
You know, if anything, I would say our job is more to find the next recession than to, you know, try to triple rate of return.
Sure.
And we do that by trying to create portfolios that can withstand the ups and downs of the volatility.
Right.
That's where, you know, I've been showing most of my clients lately how their portfolios held up in the fourth quarter of 2018. You know, to show the market was down 14%, you were down, you know, a fraction of that. looking at the market this year, the market's up 22%. We're up a healthy fraction of that. So, you know, are you comfortable with these levels of volatility in both a negative market and a positive market?
Exactly.
People associate volatility to a negative market.
Right.
Volatility can be in an up market as well.
Exactly.
It's simply variance.
Yeah. So, you know, that being said, you know, I think the most common question that we get from clients is, what will you do if you see a downturn coming? I think what you're suggesting is that we really shouldn't be reacting to it. We should be more proactively managing it.
Yep. And that's how, you know, new people that come in to see us that, you know, maybe aren't working with us, maybe they're friends or family of an existing client, and, you know, we look at their portfolio and, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're invested differently than they think they are when it comes to risk.
Correct.
Right? So in that situation, if you're too risky moving into a recession and you're outside of your own personal risk tolerance, the likelihood of you making an emotional decision is greatly enhanced.
Right.
Right? If you're 90% in stocks and the market drops 20%, you know, you're going to see 16, 17% of negative.
Right.
You know, if you're especially a retiree, the likelihood of you being comfortable with that is pretty darn low. So that's where we really try to, you know, give people an idea of what the level of risk that they really are at. And that's kind of what we're doing through this mid-year period. Now that the market's back up, a lot of people, you know, are feeling like they're invincible again and thinking that it's no big deal.
Right.
So, you know, to show them, I can easily show someone a portfolio how it performed in 2018, whether they remember it or not. And, you know, yeah, maybe you've made it all back up. If you stayed invested, you did.
Right.
But if you pulled out in December and then went back in February, you took a kicking.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about that balance. Absolutely.
And so I think that, you know, pretty much wraps up what we wanted to discuss today. Do you want to add anything on top of that, or?
No, I would just say that, you know, it's something that we really try to offer to anyone that just wants to be more educated on their investments.
Right.
You know, one of our main objectives is education and communication. So,
absolutely.
You know, I always try to voice that to friends and family of clients that, you know, just bring your stuff in and I'd be happy to just look at it.
Right.
Give you an analysis on it. You know, we have tons of software that very simply explains what level of risk your investments are at.
So, yeah, I think you're right on the money on that. I think that people want to make changes when things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reality is that they should be taking a look at it right now while things are going well, so that
sure.
you can actually be ahead of the curve instead of behind it.
Absolutely.
So, that being said, I just want to say thank you again for your input.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. And thank you again, everyone, for joining us today.
Thank you.